So basically what you're saying is the reason that people from Liverpool are all orange is because Liverpool is full of criminals.
I am saying that. So here we are. Welcome once again to the Pocket Gamer audio podcast. I'm Rob Hearn. Your host with me today is Fraser McInnes.
Hi there.
As ever. As is increasingly the case, nobody else.
No one else. As is always the case, we could pretty much say these by now.
Yeah, but we've just been talking about the possibility of getting our old wingman, Chris, back. Well, pilot even, should we say pilot?
Yeah.
No, wingman. Back, so he'll be back in future, but for now it's just Fraser and I. But that's no bad thing, is it? That's fine.
It's no bad thing at all.
Yeah. You are in Saxony?
I'm in Lower Saxony just now, in Uelzen, which is a little town, which is where my parents-in-law live. And it's beautiful here. There's leaves falling through the sky. It's kind of a lovely, blustery autumn day. And yeah, I'm just preparing myself mentally for the journey back to the UK.
Yeah, you'll be back in England.
Back in England.
Just Sunday morning, vomit on the streets, football hooliganism, rain. You know, you've got it all to look forward to.
Orange people. I've not seen many orange people in Germany. There's a lot of orange people in the UK. You know,
especially Liverpool is the central point for that.
Really?
Particular phenomenon. Oh, in Liverpool, my God. They are orange. They're all, especially the girls, they're all orange, but the boys are orange too.
The boys are orange too, wow. That's actually like, in Edinburgh the girls were orange, but there weren't that many orange boys.
In Liverpool it's absolutely everybody. And the way they dress, it's all Ugg boots and they're super fashionable in that way. Liverpool is a funny place, but I'll tell you something interesting about why they are orange in Liverpool.
Yeah,
I heard this, you know, it might be wrong.
Do they drink a lot of Tango?
That's a possible explanation, but I think this other one is more satisfactory to me. I haven't verified this, but it was a probation officer who told me, and I'm sure he knows something about the law and crime and things like that. And anyway, the reason it happens is because in Liverpool there was a lot of drug dealing happening. There were lots of drug dealers there, and they needed a way to launder their money. And it's difficult to launder money through a business that sells goods. If you're laundering money, it's got to be through a business that sells a service.
Right, right.
Because it's not countable then.
Okay.
So if you get looked into by the police and they say, well, you've all this money's gone through the business, but I can tell that you've only sold 10 cans of Coke. Whereas if it's sunbeds or another service like that, then you can say, well, you know, they've been queuing up around the corner. We've had the sunbed on the whole time and there's always been somebody on it.
Yeah.
And that's how drug dealers launder their money. And that's why the people of Liverpool are orange, because there are so many tanning salons there, because drug dealers needed a way to launder their money.
So basically what you're saying is the reason that people from Liverpool are all orange is because Liverpool is full of criminals.
I am saying that. I'm prepared to go on record. And if anyone from Liverpool ever hears this, then Pocket Gamer will be banned in Liverpool. They will boycott us because they're very... I love Liverpool.
Yeah.
You know, I'll also go on record and say that. I love Liverpool, but they are fiercely protective and there's a great
deal
of civic right there.
Could you perhaps do an impersonation of a Liverpudlian denouncing Pocket Gamer in the podcast?
I fucking hate Pocket Gamer, me. It's fucking crap. Okay.
Yeah, that was brilliant. That was perfect, yeah. We've got our intro ident sorted.
I used to hear them say that all the time. No, I love Liverpool. But as Boris Johnson and the Sun newspaper discovered, if you say anything bad about them, they will. They will
pin you down and paint you orange.
Precisely. Anyway, so that's Liverpool, and you're going to live near there soon.
Yeah, I am.
Yes,
I'm going to be a Lancastrian.
Yeah.
Home of the scientist that coined the word dinosaur, apparently.
You were doing this yesterday in Skype. You were just telling us about people who come from Lancaster. I suspect that Wikipedia is involved in
this. It was. Wikipedia was involved. I also know that the drummer from Hardfi comes from Lancaster. And other such paragons of cultural awesomeness that I can't remember just now. But yeah, I'm going to be one among that number shortly.
Yeah, well, you'll never be one amongst the number who came from there.
No, that's true. No, that's true.
So, yeah, so let's deal with some news. First off, Ayugo pulls the plug on Revolt. So if you've just heard me say that, or if you've read the headline on pocketgamer.co.uk, you may be wondering about the significance of that. But basically, Revolt was an impressive-looking first-person shooter for the iPhone back when, you know, it was just an idea. It was a glint in the collective, the many eyes of the iPhone development community. And it never came out, never materialized, and now it's not coming out at all. Apparently, it was just a tech demo. So there you go. If you were looking forward to playing the game Revolt, then tough titty.
I'm revolted.
Nice.
I'm ashamed.
Good. Well, we should move on then.
Yeah.
We should talk about... I'm going to leave the two bigger ones for the end. And now I'm going to bring up NG Moco and its unusually high piracy rates, or perhaps not unusually high. NG Moco, a person from there, I'm going to look it up on Pocket Gamer. So that when I talk about it...
As you could do, listeners, whilst listening to the podcast. This is how we do our research. It's dynamic.
Yeah. I do my research by reading stories that... Oh, look, I wrote this story. It's just come up on the site. I wrote it, which I had forgotten, even though it was two days ago.
Yeah.
And I needed to look it up to get, you know, the information to transmit to you that I had already researched and written about.
Never assume, listeners, that we are experts in our field. We're conduits for information. It's amazing how little sinks in.
No, it just all comes in, exactly. We just shuffle it about and put it back out there.
Yeah.
And this came from Gamma Sutra. Excellent eyebrow gaming website, Gamma Sutra. This story originated there, and I want credit to them. But anyway, at the GDC China, the Game Developers Conference in China, NG Moco's vice president, Alan Yu, has been talking about iPhone games. And so he talks about a lot of things in his talk. And it was quite business-like, so not necessarily very interesting to us gamers, you know, who only care about playing games. But one of the things he said is that piracy is a big problem on iPhone, and 50 to 90% of NG Moco games are pirated. In the first week, so you know, a week after in the first week of every NG Moco's game's life, 50% or 90% of copies of that game are obtained illegally by pirates. But there are lots of comments on that story with differing views. So Splat, which I suppose I can reveal is our own John Jordan.
Uh-huh.
Let's see, why not. He says, I would be amazed if the piracy rate on iPhone games was 90%. It could just be an excuse for poor sales, he's saying. Okay. Yeah. Spamboy, I'm not amazed. I find that for every game I buy, 15 to 20 friends have already pirated and downloaded it. So he's not surprised. And okay. To him, so that's 1 in 16, so that's a lot. Cloud, frequent commenter, friend of Pocket Gamer.
Yes.
Jailbroken devices should only make up about 8% of total units in circulation. Therefore, he finds it hard to believe that 8% of iPhone and iPod Touch users account for 50 to 90% of the gaming market.
That's some hard facts right there.
Yeah, he's done some number crunching. Yeah. And while he hasn't disproved the case made by NG Moco, he has certainly given us a lot to think about.
Very diplomatic there.
Yeah. But there are lots of comments. You know, go on and read them. It's a subject that on every platform animates people. But there you are. That's what NG Moco says: 50 to 90%. Earlier this week, the Command and Conquer was announced by EA.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So you're a fan.
I'm a fan. It was announced a while ago actually that EA were going to be bringing Command and Conquer to the iPhone, but then it went quiet for a long, long time, and I was kind of sat there waiting. But yeah, as you say, they've now they've announced that Command & Conquer Red Alert is coming. It's coming soon, and it's going to have, am I right in thinking, it's going to have a Wi-Fi multiplayer option and various DLC goodies to accompany it as well. So I can't wait.
It's Well, I mean, first off, yeah, so it was announced, and Tracy had a preview. John Monday had a preview last week, which wasn't supposed to go live. Accidentally revealed that information just because of a miscommunication. We're all friends, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that happened. And then this morning, it's Spanner has written the new story to say that there's going to be multiplayer. So it's definitely coming. It's coming soon, but it's going to launch as a single player, local Wi-Fi and Bluetooth multiplayer will be added as an early update. So it won't, yeah, it won't be in when you buy it, but in an update.
Yeah, yeah.
Remote multiplayer is unlikely.
That's a shame. That is a shame.
But maybe in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
There haven't been any antecedent games that have pleased me from that genre, but perhaps this one will. Okay. So it's one down, four to go.
Four to go.
Fuck. So one more news item, but this is the biggest one, you know. I indicated the structure of this news section before, and you know, if you were listening, I'm sure you're eagerly anticipating this last bit of news, knowing as you do that it is the biggest, and it is that World of Goo is coming to iPhone.
Ooh.
Goo. So World of Goo.
I thought you were about to sing Goo River there.
Goo River. Very nice, Goo River. that could you know, be sung about so many major cities.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's coming. So what happened was on the website of who's it that makes?
Don't ask me.
Oh God, I know. I'm just looking at it.
It's 2D Boy.
2D Boy. Thank you. I was about to say, I know it starts with a number. Anyway, 2D Boy on their site, just kind of basically just a little teaser image they ran of World of Goo running on an iPhone. Didn't really say much else about it. At the same time, they said that for a promotion, you can buy World of Goo for the PC at any price you want. I don't know if that promotion's still running. I guess not, but... Yeah, like what Radiohead did with their album.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They said you can pay whatever you want for it. I opted to pay nothing. I'm afraid to say, even though I love Radiohead. But World of Goo, you know, ran a similar thing, which I think is a nice idea.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a great reward to the player, but it's also a really cunning kind of marketing ploy at the same time, which is cool.
Yeah, well, as Stu said to me, Stu Dredge, of Pocket Gamer and other sites, said to me a while ago, because he's also a music journalist, so he knows all about this stuff. He said that Radiohead earned more from that album than from any of their other albums.
Really?
For all that it seemed to be a charitable act, was their most profitable.
Goodness. I wonder if the same is true of 2D Boy with World of Goo.
Let's hope so. I don't know why I said that. It doesn't make a difference. It's the same game. Yeah, but I've never played World of Goo. But everyone says it's brilliant, but I've played Tiki Towers on the iPhone, which is a cognate for it.
Oh,
I gather.
Damn it! Okay.
So, and that's really good.
Would you not say that Tiki Towers is kind of more of a kind of reductive approach to copying World of Goo?
It's really, really weak.
No, it's not! No, it's not at all! That's perfect usage.
Okay. Yes, well, perhaps I would. Frankly, though, I think your use of reductive in that context was not copacetic.
Oh!
But anyway, so World of Goo coming to iPhone. I don't even know where I was there. It's lost. Oh, yeah, and it's like Tiki Towers.
Should we tell the readers what on earth's going on here? The listeners, even.
Well, let's wait, because we've still got one to get in.
Okay.
And it's not all that interesting.
Oh, I remember the one. Yeah, okay.
I've got them written across the top of my show notes. It's pretty sad.
That is cheating.
How seriously I took this. So yeah, it's coming, and it's like Tiki Towers, a game which our absent wingman Chris James absolutely loves, and which I, you know, like, and everybody likes really, because it's quite a good game, where you have to kind of build bridges out of bamboo for monkeys to climb across.
Yes.
So that's it's really good, apparently. Also, another game that it's like is Moonlights, But now, World of Goo, that's the daddy. That's the one that, that kicks off the whole sub-genre. And it's coming to iPhone, and it's going to be really good. So, hang on for that. After kind of bigging that up, after building it up, I feel like I've,
You're spent.
The momentum in that last news story was just lost, and now I'm stumbling out of it, wondering where I am. I'm looking around. I'm confused, I'm lost, and then it hits me.
Rimmer. Rimmer. Check out my mashup, Tom York in your face. Bet you wish you'd written something as awesome as that.
There is no question that music is amongst the best music ever made. And with that sweeping and evocative generalisation, I will move on to some rumours. Bucking recent trends, we've actually started putting rumours in our rumour mine, or finding them, should I say.
It worked last week, so it can continue to work, hopefully.
We found some good ones. And this week, Scribble Knots may be coming to the iPhone. This is a pretty weak rumour. So weak that we didn't actually write about it on the site, and you know, listeners, that that means it's weak. So Scribble Knots may be coming to the iPhone, and this is purely based on the fact that a new member of staff joined Sony. I emailed Scribble Knots developer, Fifth Cell. I remembered.
Okay.
Now I'm just going to hope it's right. So I emailed them, and they said they wouldn't be drawn on it. I'm actually going to... Can I read out an email?
Go on.
No. Can I? Oh, I don't know. It feels wrong. It's his words. As Martin Amis said about Julian bloody what's his name in his autobiography. He didn't publish this guy a letter that this guy wrote to him because he said the letter is mine but the words are his. I think that applies in this case.
Okay.
Doesn't it? I don't think I can say. But I can say that he used the word focus, which is always a disappointing word to hear. Or, we're not. So I emailed him and said, oh, so what's happening? Scribblenauts coming to iPhone. He emailed back and said, our focus is this. And when our focus is something else, I'll let you know. So anyway, there's no word on that. But Scribblenauts, might be coming to iPhone. Basically, what I'm saying is that is a rumour. And I'm not saying anything else about it. I'm not saying that this is... This may happen. See, they're subtly different.
This should have been a rumor that we made up. Do you know?
It happen. I'm saying a rumor.
We should have made this rumor up.
It would have been because someone else did. That's what. Essentially, someone else made this rumor, and we're just saying, look what someone else said about this game. I hope it comes though. It's one of those rumors that, it would be good if it happened. So good that it's worth saying, even though there's no basis to believe it. Okay. So okay. Another rumor: Ghouls and Ghosts may also come to iPhone. There's a little bit more to that. But, there's more to that rumour, but it's also much less exciting.
Ghouls and Ghosts, it was kind of a big SNES license, wasn't it?
Well, it was originally an arcade game, I think.
Okay.
Ghosts and Goblins was certainly an arcade game, and I think the sequel came out in the arcades as well. Maybe not. Maybe the sequel just came out on consoles. But, in any case, it is one of the hardest games of all time. Ridiculously frustrating. Because these games, arcade games, were basically, if you go back and you play an arcade game in an emulator now, with infinite credits, you realise that you can generally complete them in about 15 minutes. And all the hours that you kind of spent, and all the money you spent, belies that fact. That really these games are quite small, but they're just so ridiculously difficult. And the art of making an arcade game, I realise now, after looking back, is to find the exact line between so frustrating that the person won't play it anymore, but hard enough so that they won't make any real progress. And it's the line is just about getting it right between those two extremes. So if you play an arcade game and you put 10p in and it's ridiculously hard, you just go, oh, fuck it, I'm never going to beat this. So you go off. You've got to believe that you can get a bit further the next time you play. Ghosts and Goblins for me is the game that got the balance exactly right, because I played that loads when I was a kid and I never got past the first bit of the second level. But there you go.
Do we have other rumors? What's the other rumor? We have another one, don't we?
Yeah, this is a bit tangential to our subject matter, because it's not an iPhone rumor, but it's about an iPhone competitor, and sometimes we make exceptions for those. And this is that, because it's such an exciting rumor, and it's that there may be a new DS on the way. DS2, rumored to be Tegra powered. The Tegra poweredness is the only is the strongest bit of the rumor.
Yeah, because Nvidia's computer on a chip or Tegra chip, which is the brains of the Zune HD as well, I believe.
Yeah.
So could it be? Could it be that we're going to have more handheld consoles powered by this thing?
Yeah, but and the fact that so we've learned that they've got a contract with Nintendo, and that leads people reasonably, I suppose, to surmise that DS2 is on its way.
Yes.
But just
possibly
in time.
Even as early as next year.
I'd be 2010 surprised. People are saying, which I think is reasonable.
When did the original DS come out?
2004, I think. 2005, maybe.
Yeah.
I think 2004.
Yeah. 5 years
so, yeah.
for a console? That's not bad.
Yeah, it's been a while. Although, you know, the Game Boy went for ages.
That's
but, yeah, it's about time. It's about time, and this is the chip that might be powering it. There's your rumour. It's not anything to do with iPhone, but it's a competitor. So that's it. There are no more rumours to be found in the mine this week.
Rumour. Rumour.
We're out. Okay.
Good. Fresh air.
Yes.
I don't know about you, Fraser, but I've been... while I was listening to that theme music, I was in my head working out the bits that I think we should cut. You know, sometimes I play this game with myself while we're recording the podcast, thinking, well, what's going to stay and what's not going to stay. So I've got like a top five of things that probably won't be in the podcast. And now the dilemma is, do I tell people so that they can think, oh, well, that might have been good?
Might have been good. Well, then if we've got the opportunity, if we do that, to make it sound like it would have been so much better than it actually was.
Yeah, reality, alternate reality teasing.
It's a shame there isn't a verb for that. I'm sure you would have been able to work it into the podcast this week.
Yeah, I should have. anyway, but now we're talking about what we've been playing.
I think we should, first of all, tell our listeners why we've been using such a broad and slightly obscure range of vocabulary today.
Yeah, and why every time one of us has used one of these words, the other has gone, oh no! it's because these five words being copacetic, cognate, belie, antecedent, and reductive, words that one would normally expect to find in a philosophy PhD thesis, were all included in the original drafts of Pocket Gamer reviews, which I had to take out, and I said to everybody, guys, these words are too clever for our
readers. You took them
readers.
Out? Oh, man.
Yeah. Get me to take them out. That's some going. Because usually it's the other way around. Usually people are saying to me, Pocket Gamer reviews, they're just getting too arsey. There's too many big words. And I always say, look, it's all right. Big words are good. People like to be educated. You know, people who understand the words go, ah, these are people I can relate to. People who don't understand the words, they go, oh, good, a new word. I'm going to go look that up. And, you know, and if they don't, if they see a word that they don't understand and they don't go and look it up, then frankly, I don't want them to read Pocket Game. I don't want their business. So, you know, you really have to be going some to make me take out a word. But in the last 2 days, I've had to take out five. Copacetic, which I'd never heard before.
No, neither had I. I have to say I think that's probably the most. I don't know. That's the most obscure of the lot out of the five there. Surely. I mean, come on. Antecedent isn't really that obscure. No. Neither is belie.
No. They're both. They're both big, but they're not obscure.
Yeah.
I think antecedent and reductive are both quite specialist. I associate them with philosophy because that's the subject I did, and words like that came up a lot.
Yeah.
I think they're quite academic words, but they're not incomprehensible. Copacetic, I actually had to go and look up. Then in the Skype conversation, we said, has anyone heard of this word? And Spanner had. He's the only one. But anyway, yeah. Cognate, that was another one I had to look up. That was one of those words that I looked it up, and then the definition didn't really help me to understand it.
Yeah,
and
me neither.
I'm still there.
I kind of had far too many preconceptions about what I thought the word was going to mean before I went and read the definition. Then my brain just wouldn't accept it when I read the definition.
You've got to see it in a sentence. That's the thing about that word like that. It's like predicate. It's one of those words that you've got to see it in a sentence lots of times before you feel like you have you understand what it even means. But anyway, those words were in Pocket Gamer reviews until I took them out.
And then and Rob and I set ourselves the challenge to, well, we challenged one another to see who could sort of surreptitiously work most of the most of those words into the podcast in a meaningful and relevant way, rather than a kind of cynical and, you know, competitive way. And Rob, I think, has trounced me with 4-1. So well done to you, Rob.
Thank you. Yeah, we weren't very surreptitious. I was trying to be surreptitious, but every time I tried to be surreptitious, you went, way!
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's because I just couldn't conceal my disappointment. It just was, I was too determined at the outset. But unlike you, I didn't have them written in front of me. I was just relying on my somewhat faltering memory to recall these.
I've long ago learned not to rely on my memory for anything, even to know what stories I've written. What the details therein. Anyway, so what we've been playing.
Last
week I went first and you went second, so we could flip it around this week.
Cool. Okay. I've been playing the games that I've been reviewing, but I'm not going to talk about both of them because one of them is Brain Challenge 2, which, though it's a very good game, is pretty boring to talk about. So what I've been playing other than that is a game called Cartoon Wars, which I've also reviewed and will be appearing on the site shortly, I believe, which is sort of a strange... Well, it's not strange. It's quite a straightforward mashup between tower defense and real-time strategy, I suppose, to an extent. Basically, you've got two towers sat at either end of a screen, and out of one tower pour enemies, which are all colourful, and out of the other tower you are able to spawn your own battalion of fighters, which are all black and white. And the idea essentially is to spawn enough, prudently using your resources, so that you can then overwhelm the opposing army and defeat their tower. And it's really simple, and it's not going to set your world alight, but it's good. I enjoy it. There's quite a lot of different units that you can buy, which you raise gold for battling successfully, which that you can then spend on new units and upgrading existing units. And it's super violent as well, in a kind of sniggeringly puerile way, which holds some level of appeal for me. Cartoon Wars, I would check it out. The one thing that's really, I think, that's sad that hasn't... The one thing that I think really would have pushed it up to the next level is if it had had some sort of multiplayer mode, because it's split into two halves so perfectly with such a balanced kind of battle that, you know, it really would have suited some tersely fought battles between friends. But no, there's just a single player mode. So Cartoon Wars, that's one of the games I've been playing. And the other game that I've been playing, much more simple than that, a game that was featured in the App Store yesterday, is Boost 3D, which is amazing. It's so simple. It's basically you're kind of plummeting headlong down a tunnel, and this tunnel kind of looks like the intestinal tract of a Rubik's Cube. It's just all like, it's just squares and colours. And the idea is that you've got to use the touchscreen or use tilt controls to avoid oncoming blocks that that appear along the tube as you're hurtling down it. And you can also manoeuvre yourself over speed boost patches as well to move faster. And it's just brilliant, and it just looks gorgeous as well. And it's a really simple, fun idea, and I really like it. So Boost 3D, that's my super-duper... Super-duper is a word I've used a lot, or a phrase I've used a lot this podcast, but not without merit. It's a super-duper recommendation for this week.
Yeah, I like the sound of that game, sick enough. Anyway, so what have I been playing? I've been playing Beneath the Steel Sky, which is...
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that you've been enjoying that a lot.
I'm quite enjoying it, but it's not... Even though I really like Monkey Island, I don't like Beneath the Steel Sky equally, although... Because it's not as... it's just different, I don't know. I mean, it shares a lot of its qualities, and really a lot of its qualities, in that it's a point-and-click adventure game from that era. And it's... The thing that really makes it good is its writing. So the puzzles are, you know, fine. Probably, I would say, not quite as good as Monkey Island. I don't think that the puzzle... It's much tighter, this game. Monkey Island, you go from location to location much more, and it's... And so it feels more expansive, whereas Beneath the Steel Sky, you tend to be in a room and you need to get out, or just a small number of rooms, you have to get out of them and go to another room. You don't spend much time going from, you're not across a large geographical area, and I think that goes against it a bit. But the thing that makes it good is the writing, which is genuinely funny. Tracy had never really heard of this game, I guess, like you and seemingly everyone else in the world is too young to remember it. So he hadn't played it before, and he did play it to review it, and he emailed me as soon as he started and said, I didn't realise, this is hilarious, I didn't realise how good it was. And it genuinely is. Like, writing in games just isn't as good as this anymore.
No.
Like, I really think that. I think that you've got games like Uncharted or whatever, and there's drama, dialogue, it's there. I think games have got, and game writing is obviously a new form. They've got to work out things like dramatic arcs and how to make the writing good. But I still think that it's never been as good as it was from point-and-click adventures in the early 90s. It's never come close. The closest it's come is Armed and Dangerous or Giants, two British games that came out a few years ago on PC. Or there was Psychonauts, which is by the same guy who did Monkey Island, came out a few years ago on PS2 and Xbox.
Quite enjoyed Psychonauts. That was a good game.
Yeah, and the writing in those games was good. But in Beneath the Steel Sky and Monkey Island, it's still, I think, better, still funnier, more honest, fresher, just everything. In any case, Beneath the Steel Sky, it's got a lot of the things that Monkey Island's got. I think the thing I don't like about it is it's sci-fi and it's not really my genre. But it's very good, anyway. You're going around with this little witty robot who says amusing things to you, and you should download it. Tracy gave it an 8, which I think is fair. It's not as good an update as Monkey Island. I think Monkey Island came through XBLA. That was the first version was on XBLA, and so it had this really swish, swanky interface and everything, which Beneath the Steel Sky doesn't have. It's just the old graphics.
Okay.
So it's not quite as good. But anyway, yeah, I've been playing that, and also last weekend, just as the weekend was starting, I saw that for free all weekend. In an act of super peggling, was Carjack Streets and also Peter und Vlad, which you were talking about last week.
Yes.
And reviewed. Did you give it an 8, 7?
I think I gave it an 8, maybe?
Okay.
I can't remember.
God, we are useless at remembering things that we've done in the very recent past, aren't we?
I'm just checking now. Let's see what I gave it. Peter and Vlad. Come on.
Come on, Peter.
It's gone.
Come on, Peter.
An 8.
8, okay.
8 out of 10.
Same as Beneath the Steel Sky. Downloaded that, had a go. Yeah, it's good. But anyway, I won't talk about that because you already have. And I downloaded Carjack Streets, which is also free, and had a little go of that. It's fine, you know. It's just like a better version of the mobile version, which I actually reviewed back in the past, when I still had time to do things like reviews.
Yeah.
And I gave that an 8. It really is the week of 8s. Although I believe the iPhone version got a 7. And so that's fine. You probably, listening to this, probably already know about it. It's like a GTA type game, top down, like the original GTA. So it's not like Gangstar, where it's all 3D. It's like the original GTA, so it's top down, but it's 3D in the sense that the buildings kind of swing perspectivally as you zoom past them.
Is that a real word?
No. Almost certainly not. If it is, I've just lucked out. You go around and you obviously do violent things. There are no games of that sort in which you raise money for charity and help old women across the road. So you go around robbing, killing, and just generally getting in the way. And the interesting twist about the game is that you have to pay. The whole thing is you're paying money back to someone for a gambling debt. So every week you have to earn. This is real time, and within those weeks there are days as well. And so at the end of every day, the missions available to you reset. So every day you start playing and you go, all right, so I can do this and I can do that and I can do that. He wants this done. This guy wants me to kill that, set fire to that school or something or whatever, jobs like that. And then you go off and you do them. If you fail them, you can't do them till the next day. But again, I reiterate, because it's important, you can't do it to the real next day.
Yeah.
But and that is that's actually a very interesting. That to me, when I reviewed the mobile version, that's why it got an 8 and not a 7. Because it really, it's one of the few games that you think about while you're not playing it.
Yeah.
And you get to the end of the day. I found myself when I was playing the mobile version for review. I found myself every day. I'd go to bed and it'd be like 11 o'clock, and I think, oh, we're better putting some time in this game, and it really keeps dragging you back in, and because of that, it's interesting and good.
Yeah.
And it was free, and now I think it's 59p, which, and it's well worth it, but it'll go back up again. It's generally more expensive than that, but for 59p, I'd recommend you download it.
Okay. Right. So that's what we've been playing, is it?
Yeah. I mean, I also had a quick go of Synonia. But I'm not going to talk about that because I didn't play it.
You talked about that last week.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay. This is really the...
You have also talked about...
The Amnesia edition.
Can I just point out that there have been weeks before when you've talked about Carjack Streets as well?
What? What's... Okay.
Never mind.
I'm worried. I'm going to go to the doctor after this and ask about Alzheimer's. So yeah, so we're coming to the end. What happens now every week is we talk about we play a music track and somebody identifies what it is and they win a prize. Do we have a winner for last week?
We do. We have a winner for last week, Dale Goodwin. I think it's safe to say that Dale Goodwin is our biggest fan. Yeah, he loves the podcast. He comments on the forums every week. And he's just a huge, huge fan. And he was the first person to write in this week again. He's won one time before, I believe, with the correct answer, which was Some Things Last a Long Time by Daniel Johnston. And of course, the not so tenuous link is that we were talking last week about a game called Hi, How Are You, which is a Daniel Johnston themed iPhone game, which came out recently. So yes, well done to you, Dale. A £5 iTunes gift voucher will be coming to you shortly.
Congratulations, Dale. Good win. Good win, Dale.
Good win, Dale.
Okay.
Yeah. So, for next week's competition, I have another piece of music here for you to listen to. If you know where it's from, write in and tell me. Yes, that's the piece of music. Sounds like the intro to a Tim Burton movie a little bit, doesn't it?
I was thinking it sounds like, does sound like Tim Burton. I was going to say it sounds like Tim Burton crossed with Muse. only recent Muse, who've become increasingly Tim Burton-like.
Okay, well, that's the piece of music. So if you know the game that relates to, write in with the answer at fraser@pocketgamer.co.uk. And you can win a £5 iTunes gift voucher for your trouble.
Okay, so here we are. We've reached the end. I can tell you that there's going to be a lot cut out of this one, listeners.
Oh, my God.
So just think about what life could have been like in that parallel universe. and think about that until we see you again next week. It's goodbye from me. And it's goodbye from
me.
Fraser.
Yes.
Him.
Goodbye.